Alleluia! Christ is risen!
Christ is risen indeed! Hallelujah!
Fantastic. This morning we hear the very familiar story of Easter Sunday. The women go to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body. Perhaps we remember the events that came before this, the trial, the beatings, and then the torture, the crucifixion on that Good Friday. But today we hear the story of the victory of God over sin and death. In the words of the angel that morning, "You were looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here." Wonderful words of the Easter message. Now, it's often said the devil is in the details. I find when it comes to our scripture, quite often the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is also in the details. I want to tend to a couple this morning and maybe look at this familiar story in a different way. First detail I'd like to point out is that the women come to the tomb, and let's hear it for the women. Last at the cross and first to the tomb, where were the men? Who knows? But the women go and they want to give honor to their Lord, their rabbi, their teacher by anointing the body. Perhaps it's a lack of planning, but I like to think it's an act of great faith that somehow God will provide. How will the stone be rolled away? When they approach the tomb, they see that the stone has already been rolled away. So the first detail is that repetition that Mark has in telling this tale. They looked and then they saw. But that word "looked" is a special word that we don't render all that well in English. The only other time this particular phrasing of the word "looked" in the Gospel of Mark comes when either Jesus is looking to heaven, giving honor to God because God is going to work through him to do some great deed, whether it's feeding the multitudes or healing the person who is deaf. Jesus honors God and God works through Jesus. But the other time this word is used is when Jesus heals someone who does not see physically, but also in the understanding of their faith. When Jesus heals them, we have that word, they looked up. Through the eyes of faith now, they see something they had not previously seen. They witness something that is exciting about God moving and working in the world, in their world, to offer healing and faith. So when the women look up, they're just not seeing that the stone has rolled away. Instead, they're looking up at what God has done by rolling the stone away, revealing that the tomb is empty. God has indeed changed the world. The world is no longer the same because Christ has been raised from the dead. The women see this. They receive it, and perhaps they know that their lives are no longer the same. The one who said that he would be raised from the dead indeed was raised. God has made the impossible possible. God has done extraordinary things through ordinary people. The promise that Christ made has been fulfilled. And they know that. Because they see the empty tomb. They look up. The stone has been rolled away. And through the eyes of faith, they see something is radically different. So they come and they meet this young man. We're not told directly that this person is an angel, but our imaginations are easy to see that scene. He tells them, "Do not be afraid." And again, he gives the Easter message. You're looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he's not here. He has been raised. And then he gives this almost missional statement. He says, "Now go, tell the disciples what you have seen. Tell the disciples," and then for me, they're some of the most gracious words in Scripture. "Tell the disciples and Peter." Because if you remember, while all of the disciples fled the scene, except for the women, of course, at the crucifixion, Peter was the one that is lifted up in the story of the Passion of Jesus as having denied Jesus three times, after boldly proclaiming that's something that he could never do. He does three times. So perhaps he does indeed need an extra word of grace. The angelic messenger calls him out. Go tell the disciples and Peter. Now, I hear that as a word of grace because I don't know about you, but I have yet to perfect my faith. I'm not quite there yet. And so when I hear that, I hear my name as well. How I need that extra bit of grace from time to time. Knowing I fall short, I need to hear the gospel message in a particular way just for me. The message goes on. Tell Peter, tell the disciples that Jesus is going ahead of you. And then the third of the details is Galilee. What's so special about Galilee? It's some distance from Jerusalem and the site of the cross, the site of the empty tomb. Well, that's from where Jesus and the disciples come. That's their home turf. That's where life becomes the humdrum, the routine. That's the life they'll have to go back to after following Jesus around for these 3 years in ministry, after seeing this crucifixion, but now experiencing the resurrected Jesus. They have to go to Galilee. They have to go back to their routine lives. But they do so in a world that has been made different by God's gracious action. They do so given the gift of faith that can see the world in a different way. Perhaps experience how God is working in the world and in their lives. And again, I hear that as a fantastic message for us this morning. We gather on this very special day. We reach out to families and perhaps do celebrations with them. We even get out the Easter baskets and the Easter lilies and all the things that are special. But tomorrow, it's Monday. Back to the routine. Back to the humdrum life, perhaps, of day in, day out things that we must tend to. But you know what? God is already there in the person of Jesus awaiting us with this very same message that we hear today. Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. He's not in the normal places we may seek to find someone who has died. No, he is alive. He's alive on Sunday morning. He's alive on Easter Sunday morning. And he's alive tomorrow, even on a Monday. Final detail. Mark is a rather particular book, to say the least. This eighth verse in the 16th chapter is where most scholars agree the book ends. Now, if you look in your Bibles at home, you're going to see a couple of additions because over the years of interpretation, people have scratched their head and say, we can't leave it like this. The women are afraid. They don't tell anyone. We got to add something, add a happy ending. But again, scholars think, no, this is where Mark intended to end the story. And in the original, the last word is not afraid, as if that were bad enough. Instead, the last word, it's a preposition. Mark ends the gospel in the middle of a sentence, as though there is more to be said, more that Mark is hinting at in the history of the disciples, in the history of these women. We know they eventually had to have said something. I mean, Mark wrote the gospel. This is looking back. At some point, they proclaimed Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ resurrected, raised from the dead. So what are we to do with this Mark who not only begins the gospel with an incomplete sentence, right? The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. But he ends, for they were afraid, for ... What are we to do with that Well, many have said that perhaps this is Mark's way of inviting us into the story. The evangelist's way of saying this is not only a story of some years ago in a faraway place, this is your story, dear reader. You are invited to be a part of what has been done and what God continues to do. I like to think of it as a call and response. Right? When I say Christ is risen, Christ is risen. Mark says the women fled the tomb. Now what? And we pick up that response. We are then invited to live lives in response to this good news, this gospel message, this thing that if we look up through the eyes of faith, we see Jesus doing for us, for the disciples, for Peter, indeed for the world. So thanks be to God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for the details that are just steeped in this wonderful scripture story. Thanks be to God for the resurrection. Amen. Amen.